Our scripture reading today is from Philippians chapter 4. Believe it or not, we're almost through the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10, and I'll end with verse 20. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. In many churches, I've heard from individuals, every time I go to church, all I ever hear about is giving money. That seems to be the big topic of conversation. Gosh, every sermon seems to center around giving money. Whether that's true or not, that somehow is the perception of many people. I think in the time that I've been here, I've probably mentioned giving in a message one time before this. Now, it's not a topic that I put a strong emphasis on, but it's the topic that we have come to in this portion of the book of Philippians. And in a sense, it would seem to be appropriate that we talk about that topic now, for next week after the evening service, we'll be having a congregational meeting in which we're going to be discussing the church budget. So giving and receiving of funds and things of that sort are certainly an appropriate topic for us. We need to consider what the Word of God has to say about this area of giving and what Paul's attitude was towards it. What I find interesting in this passage is that Paul speaks in a very personal way in this passage. He talks about his own circumstances. He talks about some of the difficulties that he's experienced and some of the joys. It's one of the more personal portions of the letters of the Apostle Paul. Apparently, the church in Philippi had in the past provided some help for the Apostle Paul. They had sent funds to him. And in fact, he had received them, and it had been some time since he had received an offering or some type of help from this church of believers in Jesus Christ. And now, through the mediation of a man by the name of Epaphroditus, a gift had been sent to the Apostle Paul from the church in Philippi, and that's what he's discussing here. Before we look at that, we may want to ask the question, why in the world do we give, and what provision does the Word of God have for the giving of funds for the ministry of the Word of God? Back in the Old Testament, there was the regular giving of what was called the tithe. Now, we can't get into great detail about the tithe. There's actually more than one tithe that's mentioned in the Old Testament, and we don't have time to look into that. It would be an interesting topic to discuss at some other time. But for now, we might want to just look at the focus of the tithe. What was it for? Well, it was to provide for the Levites who were to serve in the tabernacle and in the temple. It says in Numbers chapter 18, and I'm just going to read a couple verses. In verse 21, it says, "To the sons of Levi," this is the tribe of Levi, "behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting." And then in the 24th verse, "For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance." What happened is that the Levites were chosen as one particular tribe out of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God said that the Levites would have a special job. Their job was to minister in the tabernacle, and eventually, after the building of the temple, to minister in the temple. Now, because they were devoting their full time to that ministry, they didn't have the time to go out into the fields and to plant seed and to raise food for themselves. They didn't have the opportunity to do what all the other tribes were able to do. And so God said, this is the way we're going to deal with it. The children of Israel are all going to give one-tenth of their produce. If you raise wheat, you take one-tenth of the wheat that you've raised, and you take it in and you give it to the Lord. If you raise this product or that product, one-tenth goes to the Lord. And that tenth I have given to the Levites, for they have no other means of sustenance. They're not working to produce anything. Instead, they are conducting worship and taking care of all that's involved in the tabernacle and the temple. And so that was what the tithe was all about. Now, when we get to the New Testament, we find that God has just as serious a concern for the support of those who are proclaiming the Word of God and for the ministry of the Word. He says, for instance, when he sends the group of disciples out to proclaim the word and to go from city to city, he says this: "Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worthy of his support." And basically what he's saying here is that now you're going out and you have a job. Your job is to proclaim my word to people. And as you're doing it, you're not to be involved in other means of earning an income. The income you receive will be from the work that you're doing and the proclamation of the gospel. He gives specific directions to people within churches. And this is interesting. He writes in the book of Galatians, and the wording is a little difficult to follow, but in Galatians chapter 6, he says this: "The one who is taught in the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." Now, what does that mean? Well, we have a missionary who goes out and proclaims God's word, and those who are being taught and come to know Christ as Savior, their job is to support that missionary. The one who preaches the word of God, when the word of God is proclaimed, those who hear and understand are blessed by the word, they're to support the preacher. It's just a basic concept. It's the same thing that is discussed in the Old Testament. But there are passages in the Word that are even stronger than that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard in preaching and teaching. And then he gives an example. He says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. In other words, when the animal is working, you make a provision so he can eat. And then he goes on to say, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. The Word of God over and over again consistently teaches us these things. However, the Apostle Paul discovered, and many others have discovered, that it's not always possible. It's not always possible for a pastor or an evangelist or a preacher to be fully and completely supported by the ministry in which he is involved. And the Apostle Paul often was not able to receive income enabling him to devote his full time to the ministry. If you remember, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. That was his occupation. He made tents and he sold them. And on many occasions, he found that it was necessary for him to go back to the work of making tents in order to provide the support he needed for the ministry in which he was involved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he goes into this whole issue. He talks about what he is entitled to and the fact that there were times that he was unable to take advantage of that, and that was okay for him. Listen to the words that Paul says or writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? He's saying here, I want you to understand, Barnabas and I are out preaching the gospel. Now, are we the only ones who are permitted to refrain from working? Why is it that, Paul mentions this? His concern is that he should not necessarily have to be involved in other labors. His involvement should be totally in the ministry to which he was called. And then he gives examples. He says, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? What's he saying here? He says, you don't send a soldier out to the battle and say, now go earn some money on the side so you can support yourself. That's ridiculous. And then he says, who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? Now, I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? And then he quotes the same passage that we read before. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing. And Paul says, now this isn't written primarily about oxen. That's not the issue that God's concerned about. God's not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things to you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Now, Paul says, this is my right. This is my privilege. If I'm going to be a preacher of the Word of God, then I should be receiving support for my work. But listen to what he goes on to say. He's very practical. He's more concerned about the ministry than he is about the support. And so he says this, nevertheless, I did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Later on, he says, later in this passage, So also the Lord directed that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. And then later on in the same passage, that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, he says. In other words, there is a quandary going on here. Here's the apostle saying, this is my right, this is what I'm entitled to, this is the way it ought to be. But the reality, my friends, is that it isn't always that way. It can't always be that way. And I'm more concerned about the proclaiming of the gospel, the effectiveness of what I do for the glory of God, than I am about other things. Okay, this gives us somewhat of a background, somewhat of an understanding of the principles that God has laid down. He says, I want you to understand that those who hear the word should be supporting the ministry of the word. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing. I get letters from missionaries saying, I don't know how we're going to manage. We don't have enough support coming in. We need to receive more. Please help us. I hear of those who are put in awkward positions because the support is not forthcoming. Well, what was Paul's attitude towards this? A very gracious attitude. Now we get back to our tests in Philippians chapter 4. He talks first of all about how he is overjoyed and happy that the Philippians have renewed a concern for him. They've sent some funds. It says in the passage, for instance, I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He's saying that it's a joy. And I can imagine Paul, in all of his labors and the times that he had to spend half of his time building tents for people so that he could have enough money to have food and go on and proclaim the word of God. I can imagine the Apostle Paul just standing there and saying, oh, isn't this wonderful? The Lord has seen fit to provide some funds, and now, at least for a period of time, I don't have to worry about earning money. I can get out and just proclaim the word of God. And I can see and picture the excitement on the face of the apostle. But he wanted to explain to them that that was not the most important thing to him. Sometimes, as I said, people get the impression that the most important thing in a church is make sure you give enough money, give more, give more. You rarely hear that around here. We don't talk about funds very much, as I said. But the apostle said that he's learned something very special from the Lord. Very special. He says in the 11th verse of this passage, not that I speak from want. Not that I talk about the needs that I have. That's not the issue that I'm discussing with you, Philippians. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I wonder how many of us have learned that blessing. I wonder how many of us have learned the blessing of contentment. You know, that doesn't seem to be a common experience in our society today, does it? I mean, I look around me, and it seems as if no matter what people have, it's not enough. The man who is driving the Ford is saying, oh, I need a Cadillac. The person who has a very lovely but relatively small home is saying, this isn't good enough. Look at my neighbor. He has a bigger house than I. I need to have more than I have now. The person who says, I see people with so much more than I have, and I can't be content or can't be satisfied. Paul says, I've learned the special blessing. And I want to tell you that when we learn this same blessing, our lives are enhanced. When we can learn to be satisfied, when we can learn to be content with what God has given us. Not saying that we can't work to earn more. Not saying that we can't achieve more in our lives. But in the condition and position that we find ourselves at the moment, are we content? Are we happy? Are we satisfied? Can we truly say, God has blessed me, and so I'm content? But Paul goes beyond this. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. He had experienced both. And many of us have been in that situation. I can think of times in my life when we've had more than we need. And I certainly have enjoyed those times. They've been a blessing. And I can remember times in our lives when we were barely making it financially. When each day was a financial struggle. When, as some people say, you know, when I get halfway through the month's wages are all gone. And so many of us have experienced that. Paul says, I've been in both conditions. And I've learned to be happy in the condition in which God has placed me at the moment. He said, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I'll tell you something, that's an attitude we need more today among Christians. To say, I am satisfied, to have a life that's not filled with complaining and dissatisfaction, but a life that praises God for all that He has given. And that's why Paul can say in the next breath, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's a verse that's applied in many different ways. Translated sometimes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The name Christ is not actually in the original text, but it means Christ. It's the same thing. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What's he talking about? He's talking about satisfaction. He's talking about being satisfied with what we have and not complaining. After this lengthy description, he goes on to congratulate the Philippians, telling them that they're a church that has done much to help him. They've provided for his needs. They've given so that he has been well supported in the ministry to which he was called. And he says to them words that can be looked at by each one of us and recognized as a great truth in our lives. He says this, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Doesn't it seem a little strange that he says this in this context where he's talking about giving? Well, I think it fits together beautifully. This is what I think Paul is saying here. He's saying, now, we just talked about giving, and you just sent a gift to me. And I know, Philippians, that that's an incredible sacrifice, just as it is for many people in a church. When they give to the offering in the church, often that's a sacrifice. When sometimes they dip into their own pockets and they use their money for things that are needed in the congregation, that's a sacrifice. And that often happens in our congregation and other congregations, where some people are actually giving beyond their means, giving beyond what they feel they can afford. And that apparently is what was happening with regard to the Philippians. They were giving not out of their abundance, but giving out of the little bit that they had. And Paul is saying and encouraging them, he says, you've given a gift to the work of the Lord. And now, my friends, God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? His riches in glory. God owns everything. The Word of God says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The word thousand obviously is not meant to be literal. I mean, if you can count a thousand and one hills, he owns the cattle on that hill also. He owns everything. That's the idea. That the world is his. And he has the ability to give to us all that we need. And Paul is saying, as you give, God is going to give to you. As you provide for the needs of the ministry, God is going to make sure that your needs are provided. It reminds me of a couple different individuals that I knew in my life. One was a very, very wealthy man. When I say wealthy, I would say that this man was probably, at the time that I knew of him, a multimillionaire. He had plenty of money, more than he could ever use. And he had been giving a tithe to the work of the Lord. He'd given 10%. And he started looking at what God had given to him, and he started praying about what he should do. And he came to a conclusion. He said, I don't need 90% of my money. That's just too much. And he said, I think I'm going to turn the thing around. Now, we can't do this. Most of us are not in that kind of position. But he said, you know, I think I'm going to give 90% to God and I'm going to live on 10%. And that's what he began doing. And the amazing phenomenon was that God began to give him more and more and more. And then I think of a lady that I knew who had almost nothing. She was not poverty stricken, but pretty close. And here was a woman who said, I want to give to God's work. And it was out of her poverty that she was able to eke out just a little bit each month to give to the work of the Lord. Like the lady that we read of who gave her two mites. And her gift, though very tiny in the eyes of most people, was a tremendously large gift for her to give. And I ask myself, what attitude do we have towards ministry and towards giving? Are we willing to say, I'm going to live in whatever circumstance God has given me with contentment? I'm going to make sure that the work of the Lord goes forward the way the Philippians did. Those of us who are involved in some kind of ministry, many of us, as I have in times in our lives, have worked in addition to being involved in ministry. Are we willing to say, I'll do whatever it takes that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go out and that men and women will hear that glorious message of salvation? Paul ends this passage with words that talk about his true attitude towards all of these things, where he says in verse 20, now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. An unusual passage in God's Word, isn't it? This is not the type of topic that we talk about very often. But what a wonderful set of principles the Apostle Paul has laid down for us. The principle that says we're to be satisfied. The principle that says our goal is the spread of the gospel. The principle that says that those of us who minister should be supported, but if that's not possible, we are willing to serve that God's name might be glorified regardless of our circumstances. Our friends, as we look into His Word, may it be that these attitudes will be the attitudes that we, as believers in Christ, have. May we desire nothing more than to serve Him in the spreading of His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word and all that it means in our lives. We thank You, Father, that as we've come to a portion of Your Word that talks about the contentment that the Apostle Paul had, may it be that we have an attitude of contentment in our lives. When it talks about giving, may it be that we're a giving people. But above all, Lord, when it talks about the proclaiming of the Word of God, may it be truly that we are servants who are willing to do whatever it takes that Your Word will be received in this world, that men and women, boys and girls, may come to know the Savior. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.